This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
British Columbia has had the worst child poverty record of any province for at least 7 consecutive years, and advocates have been pushing the BC government to enact legislation with targets and timelines for reducing child poverty. Those calls were recently amplified by an extensive 12-part series called Our Growing Challenge in the Province newspaper, which ended with a focus on 6 ideas that could make a difference to the struggling children in British Columbia. And this Wednesday, November the 24th, First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition will release its current child poverty report card.
We're joined in the studio by Jim McGregor, the Nanaimo District Secondary Community School Coordinator, and on the phone by Adrian Montani, who is Provincial Coordinator of First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition. Welcome back to People First Radio to the both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Adrian, my first question. In June 2010, First Call chairperson Julie Norton said in a news release, children are only young once. Given all the research evidence about the harm caused by growing up in poverty, we should all be alarmed by these numbers and commit to bringing them down. What do we know about the effects of poverty on children and how they're impacted as they grow up?
Well, what we know is that it impacts them actually at almost the cellular level because of the way that the body responds to stress, and poverty is a stress in both parental and in parent lives and in children's lives. So it affects their, of course, if food is an issue, food security is an issue, it affects, and they have don't get adequate nutrition, it affects their physical health, which can also affect their physical development and their brain development, their social-emotional development. It can affect their participation in society, and that includes where kids spend a lot of their time once they're about age 5 in school. So it can affect their full participation in school if they come to school able to learn, ready to learn because they're or unable to because they're hungry or overtired. That can affect their ability to absorb information, concentrate on tasks. So it affects their, we know from research trends that it affects their long-term success in school in a negative way, or it certainly can. So there's physical health, there's school. As kids get older and they're excluded from activities that their peers may be able to participate in, and it can lead to them getting involved in risky activities, feeling alienated because they're not able to fully participate or do things that keep kids with high energy levels busy, like sports and those kinds of involvement that often cost money these days. So there's a higher vulnerability to involvement in the criminal justice system or other kinds of risky activities. So all of those things, so health, education, and making a safe transition into adulthood and the responsibilities of adulthood are all impacted by growing up in poverty.
Jim McGregor, what do you see in the school and local community system itself? How is poverty impacting children and youth in Nanaimo?
Well, to prepare for today's show, I wanted to bring you some evidence, some hard numbers to back up what Adrian was saying and give you an idea of the local scene. So here in Nanaimo, the latest figures from December 2009, 13% of our children are in care, that meaning that they're foster kids. Here's one that's really troubling. 24% of our kids are reading below standard at the grade 4 and 7 level. 6% are involved in serious juvenile crime. So all of those things are pretty much as a direct result of the conditions that Adrian just spoke about. When your body and your mind are not nurtured, this is the result for some kids. Some are more resilient than others. Others need more help through the system. We also are seeing, of course, there's dropping enrollments, but we're also seeing a drop in school completion rates, which is also troubling, especially and persistent amongst our Aboriginal population.
Adrian, First Call has been pushing the BC government to enact legislation with targets and timelines for reducing child poverty, and First Call partners with 120 organizations across Canada under the Campaign 2000 umbrella to call for national action against poverty. Now, on November 17th, an all-party report was introduced in the House of Commons with Conservative Party support, calling on the Harper government to pursue an aggressive strategy to reduce poverty. What are your thoughts on that, Adrian?
Well, we're very pleased here at First Call, and our partners across the country are also pleased to see that report come out of the what's called the HUMA committee, House of Commons, one of the committees that's been looking at this issue and traveling across the country and gathering input for about 3 years. So this is a big report, and it mirrors the recommendations, including that united recommendation that we need a poverty strategy for Canada. That was a recommendation in the earlier report from December 2009 from the Senate of Canada, which was called In From the Margins. So we have two reports from two parliamentary bodies that have made basically the same recommendation, lots of overlap in their recommendations about the need for a poverty reduction or poverty elimination strategy. And of course, there was the commitment, I'll just remind everyone, last November, the House of Commons passed another all-party resolution committing government to put in place an immediate plan to eliminate poverty in Canada. So we have lots of voice on this now and some wonderful recommendations to give that direction and act on. And so we're really hopeful that this public pressure from parliamentarians and from the public across and organizations across the country will start resulting in some action.
You're listening to People First Radio. Almost 20% of children in British Columbia live in poverty, and these early years of poverty have been proven to have long-ranging effects, including health problems later in life. From the mid-1990s to 2007, during the economic boom years, the Canadian national poverty rate fell, but the rate in British Columbia jumped up as high as 16.4%, making it the highest in Canada for the first time. That was despite strong economic and employment growth in the province. We're joined in the studio by Jim McGregor, the Nanaimo District Secondary Community School Coordinator, and on the phone by Adrian Montani, who is the Provincial Coordinator of First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition.
Jim, the province newspaper's extensive series on this issue concluded with several recommendations for immediate action. Can you comment on those?
Yes, I can. A 12-part series in the province newspaper started on the first day of school and concluded on a province-wide professional development day on October 22nd. I was at a conference, and the copy of the province, which I examined here, had these six ideas. They were commissioned by the province and put together by the mastermind researcher, Dr. Nick Kershaw, of UBC, and he also headed up the HELP project, the Human Early Learning Project. His six recommendations I want to share with the listeners, and as you listen to the sound of my voice into your ear, into your brain, file it away in your data bank and think about it later today. The first one is to work with National Chief Sean Atleo, and we're especially lucky here in BC because he is from a Ahouset out near Tofino. Aboriginal people have about a quarter the graduation rates of the rest of the population, and only about half of those who start high school complete it. The recommendation is to focus on education as an action plan and base it on the lifelong learning model that includes Aboriginal community and that can advance their culture as part of the education. The second one is to support young families, to extend parental leave, and to have universal access to early childhood education and care. Now, the SNCC significant thing about these six recommendations is for the first time ever, a respected researcher put a price tag on them. And so for this recommendation to extend parental leave, $585 million, and for universal daycare, this is across Canada, $1.5 billion. Sounds like a lot of money. However, consider the cost of not doing that. The third recommendation is parenting skill, to teach parenting skills at a much higher level, to even begin in high school so that students can prepare for the awesome responsibility of caring for a new life. The fourth recommendation is that every school should become a neighborhood learning center or a community school. That's going to require a change in the educational culture. The fifth one is to help the working poor. BC, 6 years in a row, has the highest child poverty rate in the nation. We also have one of the lowest minimum wages. And we also need to change or end the punitive welfare system that has disincentives in it. The last one is that it's going to take everybody in this effort. Join the village. Everyone needs to pitch in and be part of the solution. I'd like you, everyone that listening in that who is able, you can easily look at these six ideas in depth. It's at theprovince.com and look for the series Our Growing Challenge. I'll also have some information at the end of the program where you can order a DVD with all the information on it. Those are the six recommendations.
An extensive recent report called Growing Up in BC by BC's representative for children and youth and the provincial health officer says that it's easy to become complacent about at-risk child populations and that impoverished circumstances and poor outcomes have come to be accepted for some of our children and youth. The report adds that this complacency can no longer be tolerated. Do you think British Columbia is on the verge of a shift in the way that it treats its children, Adrian?
I hope so. And I really appreciate our representative for children and youth, Mary Ellen Terpelafon, often states this, that you know, that we shouldn't normalize or accept that we have unacceptable outcomes or high levels of vulnerability for certain populations of children. And certainly children living in poverty is one of those is one of those groups. It's really not okay, and particularly I think when we say, well, that's too expensive, we can't afford to do that, that is really an unacceptable response in a society and a province and a country as wealthy as Canada and British Columbia is. There is no reason to leave children behind, and it is a question of human rights and the kind of compassionate, caring society we want to create. So having said that, I am optimistic that we may be on, there's a critical mass of people who are looking at issues of income inequality, which traps a large number of families in poverty, and while some people are getting very, very wealthy, and that inequality creates sickness at all levels of our society, both physical and psychological and social ill health, creates sick societies, and that we can address that. I think there's a groundswell of people looking for more egalitarian society and one where we don't leave people behind. So yes, I'm optimistic.
Now we have just a moment left. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation today, Jim?
Yes, I'd like to give a challenge to the listeners and tell you about some upcoming events that directly relate to what we're talking about. For more information, you can get Our Growing Challenge as a DVD. Just send an email to infoline@sunprovince.com, or you can call me at 740-2026. Also coming up is an event and directly relates to the third recommendation, to teach parenting skills. We have a program that we've been trying to get going and it's almost there. We just need a little more in funding, and so we have a fun event, Saturday, December 11th, breakfast and photo with Santa at Nanaimo District Secondary, 8:30 to 11 a.m. You can get a photo with Santa for only $5, but the reason we want you to come out is we are creating community there, and fathers are who we especially want to come out. We have a fathering mentorship program that includes you and your children in a weekly activity, free, and it helps you to become a better father and to hook you up with a mentor, an older father who's more experienced and can give you a hand not just once a week, but every day if you need help.
Adrian Montani, is there anything that you'd like to briefly add to our conversation today?
Well, yes, I just that I appreciate for the listeners that sometimes statistics come and go, but to remember that the importance of paying attention to this issue and raising their voice in whatever way they can in their community, whether that's talking to elected officials, talking to your neighbor, talking to family members about the importance of this issue. I think we'll find more common ground and build a stronger community if people understand they have a role to play in that, that it does, when we say it takes a village to raise a child, it means for those who don't have children as well, but that want to live in a healthy society and see a healthy future, that everybody has a role to play to keep letting our elected officials know and letting other people in the community know that this is the kind of society we want, and we want to get rid of this poverty problem.
Thank you so much to the both of you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Jim McGregor is the Nanaimo District Secondary Community School Coordinator, and Adrian Montani is Provincial Coordinator of First Call BC Child and Youth Advocacy Coalition. First Call will issue its latest poverty report card on Wednesday, November the 24th, 2010. You can find First Call online at firstcallbc.org. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.